Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. Our show today, Cancer Success, a doctor's recovery story. Imagine your family being told you may not wake up in the morning because of a failed attempt to remove cancer from your brain. As if that isn't enough, you actually do wake up and are told that you have bone marrow cancer that spread to your brain and there is no cure. What would you do? Our guest, Dr. Charles Majors, had to make some serious life-altering decisions fast. His story is truly inspirational and ought to provide tremendous hope for every cancer patient looking for an alternative to conventional cancer treatment protocols that offer very little success, especially when you're talking about those that are diagnosed with stage 3 or stage 4 cancer. In just a moment, you'll discover how Dr. Majors completely healed from stage 4 cancer without chemotherapy or radiation and thrives to this day. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, please join me in welcoming Dr. Charles Majors to our show. Dr. Majors, welcome.
Thank you. Love listening to your show, so I'm glad to be on it again.
Dr. Majors, why don't we start off by just talking about when you were first diagnosed with cancer? Bring us back to the beginning. What was that like for you?
Wow. I was thinking about that this morning when I was working with some patients and just the struggle, you know, that I went through. I can tell you this, that there's probably very rarely any people in the world who go through what I went through and a lot of other people are listening to went through, to be diagnosed with an incurable cancer and it was spread to the brain. I was in a wheelchair with weeks to live. It was obviously devastating. You know, I remember laying up at night, you know, in the hospital bed, you know, thinking this is the end. I remember my wife never missed a day. She was literally at the hospital probably 24 hours a day unless she had a shower. And it was that last minute, thinking, is this the last week I'll be alive, as they brought me my kids, three of the kids at the time, you know, each one at a time to talk to me. And you can imagine where I was laying in that bed. It was a decision I made in that moment that said, there's no way I'm going down, that I'm going to figure this out. And the problem is, there's so much information out there. That's where the struggle is. That's where the real struggle is. What do you do now? You're in a hospital bed. You're diagnosed with an incurable cancer that spread to the brain, weeks to live. The doctors are telling you there's nothing they can do but chemotherapy, radiation, and a bone marrow transplant. And I knew you couldn't make me sicker to get me healthier. So it's very confusing. And a lot of people, I don't ever want anyone to go through that. So that was why, you know, listening to these podcasts and being in, you know, a subscriber to these different websites and listening and seeing this information out there, but having a plan to get it all together. So I'd say once we got the plan together, once I made that decision that there's no way I'm going down, once I made the decision that I was going to figure this thing out, and I just literally began researching 8-10 hours a day, even when I was in the hospital.
You know, Dr. Majors, I'm not suggesting that it's any one thing or another that's the key, but, you know, before we jump to getting an update as to where you are now, 4.5 years since that initial diagnosis, I think it's important to point out that not that it's a guarantee, but such a valuable thing you're talking about right now. And as somebody who can't even begin to pretend to understand what you went through 4.5 years ago, I can tell you from my own personal experience as an athlete and someone who has helped people in their athletic endeavors, what they want out of life, that I often say that the most important first thing is, what do you really want to do? I mean, for example, someone athletically just feels like, hey, I've lost hope. I'm going to lose this match. I'm not going to do well today. And you know what? That's exactly what plays out. But someone that has a vision for performing at a high level, or that really feels confident that they're going to do well and that they're excited and that they're so motivated with every cell of their body about doing well at something, you know what? a lot of times they tend to do well, and they're motivated to find those things that will help them to achieve things at a very high level. So I can see some similarities. I just wanted to get your feedback on what I just said.
Visualization is key. Your mind will take you to where you want to go. You have what's called a reticular activation system in the brain, which is your Google search engine, that whatever you put in there, it'll find for you. This is most powerful, that without a doubt, every cancer patient I work with, that it's the mindset that comes, that's number one. It's the mindset. That if you don't think there's a chance, I'll tell you this, there's probably no chance, because you'll never go find it. You'll never search for it. You won't take the action on it. But when you realize that there's hope, when you realize, as I was laying in that hospital bed, and I said, if I cut my arm, it heals. If my brain can heal this cut, it can heal this cancer. I just need to figure out how my body went from these normal, healthy cells into these cancer cells. How did my body get to this position? It's a choice you make that says, there's no way I'm going to go down here. I'm going to do everything it takes. So yes, without a doubt, mindset is key here. If you think there's no hope, there's no hope. But when every day you're putting into your mind what we call the reticular activation system, and you're seeing 2, 3, 4 years being with your family, and you're making plans and you're setting goals, without a doubt, that is crucial. You have to realize that this is only a temporary setback. That's all it is.
Dr. Majors, I don't know if this is an easy question for you to answer. Again, we're going to get an update from you now as to where you are today. But conventional medicine would just say, you know what, you've got this brain cancer. I don't even care what brought it on, what the cause is. It's completely unimportant whether they actually say it or not. Certainly their behaviors and their actions really imply what I'm saying is so true. They're going to basically tell most cancer patients it's unimportant. Let's not deal with that. Let's just focus on getting you in for surgery, chemotherapy, or radiation. I'm just curious. I mean, just talk to me. How important is it for you to have known what brought this on for you? Was it something that you've gone through for yourself? And, you know, of course, a lot of people listening out there, it's not like it's going to be the most important thing for everybody out there, but what would you suggest? Is it important to, you know, come to some sort of realization or peace with what you think brought on your cancer? What would you say to something like that?
Well, the key to remember is that cancer doesn't make you sick. That you've been sick for years, then the cancer shows up. Cancer is secondary. It's the symptom. And that if we treat just the symptom, the underlying cause has to be there. It's secondary. And I want to say that again, because if you can understand and grasp onto that before you get cancer or after you get cancer, it's the key. The cancer didn't make you sick. You're not sick because you have cancer. You've been sick for years, but the cancer is secondary. If I just get rid of the cancer, whether it be surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, or whether it be just naturally, right? I could have just went and done oxidative therapies, what we're talking about. I could have done IV vitamin Cs. I could have went and done poly. I could have went and done all these natural things and reversed and, you know, reduced my cancer load, but the cause is still there. That's why my new book, The Cause is the Cure, is based on, you've got to get to the cause of this. The cancer is secondary. And thank God, and there are times where, you know, somebody always says to me, well, then how did so-and-so get through chemotherapy and radiation? How are they still alive? It saved their life. Not necessarily, but the chemotherapy and radiation may have minimized some of their tumor load, and then their immune system took off and healed the rest of it. They had to change their lifestyle. But in general, is we have to first stop making this cancer by getting to the cause of this. Get to the cause, stop making it. And then the next step is now you have to figure out how you want to kill this. There are a lot of patients I help with who decide, I'm scared, my family's scared, I don't want to do it naturally. Great. Then they decide they're going to do it through, you know, chemotherapy and radiation or surgery. They better protect their body and do all the things you've been teaching for years to protect all those healthy cells. And some people say, you know what, I'm going to do it naturally and specifically, and I'm going to kill that cancer. And great. And then step three is you got to rebuild and strengthen up that immune system. Because number one, the only reason why you have cancer is your immune system got weak and couldn't control this. Number two is if you're going through radiation, you know, and if you're going through chemotherapy, it's destroying your bone marrow. It's destroying your immune system. It's destroying your gut, which is 70 to 80% of your immune system. That you got to really repair that immune system back up. And so why is conventional having a hard time and there'll never, ever, ever be a cure? I'm sorry for all of you who are spending millions of dollars and trillions, whatever it is. You can't cure a symptom. You can't cure the symptom. You have to get to the cause of that. And the cause of cancer is multifactorial. It's a multi-system failure. You know, you're not going to cure cancer by just getting rid of the cancer when the liver's a mess and not detoxing. You're not going to cure cancer when the gut has been destroyed for years and now the immune system is gone. You're not going to cure cancer when you have heavy metals all over your body, right? There's so many factors involved in why someone gets cancer.
Yeah, so clearly, if someone has emotional issues, they're depressed, they're angry, resentful, they haven't forgiven people, all of these things are true. It could be triggering cancer in somebody's body. But of course, those feelings, those emotions, those thoughts, they drive people to drink, possibly smoke, not care about what they're eating, you know, all these other behavioral things. And you could switch out some of those things and stop doing some things and start improving your lifestyle and breathing and relaxing. But of course, if you're not really fully healed, there are certain things that you still need to focus on. I'm sure you would agree, Dr. Major. So talk about, give us a little bit of an update, where you are now, 4.5 years later.
Well, so right now I'm traveling and speaking, taking care of patients, but I'm traveling, speaking all over the country, you know, talking about this. So I always have to make sure I have my first MRI stuff with me and my post-MRI. So I had a post-MRI about 4 months ago. So I do check. So listen, I'm not somebody who just said, oh, I'm going to take a bunch of herbs and reverse my cancer. No, I've been working my butt off for 4.5 years right now. If you knew what I already did this morning, and it's only 10:30 here my time. So where am I at now? So right now, my blood tests have been stable for almost 4.5 years. My MRI, where I had 4 tumors in the beginning that spread to the brain, which is secondary cancer, all 4 tumors, my new MRI says on the bottom, unremarkable. So it's nothing. They can't find a trace of cancer in my brain after 4.5 years, which is, that I know of, has rarely ever been done as a secondary cancer. So right now, as I'm speaking to you, obviously 4.5 years later, being alive now and doing amazing, somebody says, well, is all your cancer gone? You know what? I really don't care if it is. All I know is my life is better now than it was 4.5 years ago. And if I can live just like I am now for the next 40 years and be with my family and then my grandkids and my wife, then I'm fine with never totally getting rid of it. And I think that's a misconception. I think that's an issue that everybody wants to be fully cancer-free. Nobody's ever fully cancer-free. So some have more than others, but we all have a certain amount developing every day. And when you try to do nothing but kill it all the way to zero, you end up killing yourself. That's the issue with all I care about when I'm talking to a cancer patient or meeting with, all I care about is, are you going to be alive in 40 or 50 years from now? That's the key. That's the issue is whether you're going to be alive or not.
No, it's so true, Dr. Majors. Dr. Gonzalez, somebody who I've interviewed in the past as well many times on my programs, you know, he talks about helping people live with cancer. It's kind of a strange concept for a lot of people to hear because, like you say, there's this perception out there, unfortunately, in the general public that whether you're diagnosed with cancer because some modern medical machine has finally diagnosed, you know, a billion plus cells that they found somewhere in the body, oh, we found a tumor. And if they don't find anything on these medical tests, you must be cancer-free. It's absolutely absurd. It really is a misperception out there. We all have cancer cells. Our immune system is working to keep us protected, safe from harm. We should be of good spirit, good energy, feeling great all the time. This is the way we want to live. But hey, our immune system is always traveling around and making sure things are okay. So I think it's a really important point that you're bringing up.
And that's the problem is, I mean, I don't know how many cancer patients I met with who had no hope and no cure. And I said, well, what if we just kept you alive another 30 years with the amount of cancer you have? I mean, I'll be talking to a patient. I'll be like, just last week, a pancreatic cancer patient. And I asked him, I said, you know, are you able to hang out with your grandkids? Are you able to go to baseball games? He's like, yeah, I went there last week. I said, so you can do pretty much anything you want right now. You're able to travel if you want. And he said, yeah, you know, I'm able to do all these things. And I said, well, what if we could just keep you there for the next 20 or 30 years? How would you be happy? And they're like, I never thought of that. They don't think about that. Just because you have 20 billion cancer cells and somebody else has 500 million, you just have more than they do, as long as we slow it down and we stop it from ever getting any worse.
I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Majors, you talked a little bit for a moment about these medical tests, and I love the way you put it. You just threw it out there before. Hey, I'm not one of these people that was like, oh, anti-conventional. I'm just going to do some herbs. I'm going to put some drops in my water and drink that and just, you know, hope for the best. No, you're doing medical tests. You're getting real feedback as to how you're doing on a regular basis. Talk about the medical tests that you like, which ones you're using, and, you know, what would you say to other people out there concerned about cancer?
Okay, let me go through a little bit about what I had to do, okay, so that'll make sense to people, and then they can go through theirs. So number one is you can't guess. You have to test. Just because one person does Gerson and lived, and then you hear about another person doing Gerson and died, right? It's not the Gerson therapy that screwed up. It wasn't the diet. It wasn't the therapy. It was because the person's metabolism is different compared to another person. So I don't guess. Number one, we look at a metabolic testing. I want to see which diet is better for my body. What can I process better? Next, we run a food sensitivity panel. You know, a food allergy means that if you eat it immediately, it creates an immediate immune response, an inflammatory reaction. Well, 70 to 80% of our immune system is in our gut. So if you're eating foods on a regular basis that keep inflaming your gut and keep inflaming your gut, you're never going to fully heal from this cancer. I have a brain cancer patient who was drinking carrot juice all day long, right, because that was part of his treatments he was under with a doctor. I ran a food sensitivity panel. He has a severe sensitivity. He's not allergy, remember. He's sensitive. That means he wasn't getting better. Well, every time he was drinking this carrot juice, he was creating an inflammatory reaction. He was creating an inflammatory reaction in his gut. Remember, the gut is the second brain. Whatever goes in your gut immediately goes to your brain. When we're talking about brain cancers, when we're talking about brain issues, the gut affects the brain. So he was inflaming it. We had to pull him off of the carrots and move him on to beets. Weren't a big deal. So for him, he moved to beetroots throughout the day. We don't guess what we're eating and what we're not and what's inflaming us. Number three is you've got to run, which without a doubt, you should know your vitamin D3 levels. Without a doubt, these are one of the most important vitamins, which is actually a hormone, is vitamin D. I know you talk about it a lot. Vitamin D, without a doubt, there's more research on that than almost anything else. New study just came out where they had vitamin patients, three different groups of patients. One group was taking what they said a high amount of D3, and I'll tell you in a second it wasn't high, but they considered them high. They had a medium group taking D3, then they had a low group. Obviously, the group who lived the longest through cancer and chemotherapy was the group with the high. The high, Jonathan, was only 30.
Wow.
You can imagine that. So now think about that. We're getting you to 60 to 70 to 80 to 90, right? Think about the difference there. That was just vitamin D alone. So I want to measure that. Mine is checked on a regular basis. My family is checked to make sure. We run a D3 test. If your D3 is low, you have all these food sensitivities, you're eating the foods that are wrong, you're never going to fully heal. Next is I had to do toxicity testing. Because when there's toxins in your body from the bombardment of things that are going on, you know, and we're bombarded with, that your immune system is over here working to attack this. Your liver is trying to detox that. So I want to make sure that my body's functioning. In my case, and I would say a majority, a lot of cancers, especially any immune cancer, you have to run a viral panel. I like to run it on all patients. And the reason why is because I don't care if it's just simple cold virus or, you know, a cold sore virus, like an HSV-1. I don't want any virus in the body affecting the immune system. I don't want your immune system over here working. But you'll see on most cancer patients, they'll have cytomegalo, they'll have Epstein-Barr, they'll have HSV-1s, and they have cancer. Now, a lot of people have Epstein-Barr, a lot of people have cytomegalo, and it's not a big deal. It is a big deal when you have two or three or four and your immune system is getting weak. We want to make sure we're eliminating these viruses, keeping the immune system strong. If you have an immune cancer, whether it be a leukocyte, leukemia, whether it be a myeloma, which I have, whether it be a lymphoma type of cancers, these are most of the time we find an underlying viral infection. There could be bacterial infections that the immune system has been working overtime and overtime and overtime and overtime. No wonder why you ended up with an immune cancer. Next is, very important, we run hormonal panels. I don't know how many breast cancer patients, prostate cancer patients, uterine, ovarian, and I'll ask them, when was the last hormone test you had? I haven't had one. What do you mean? You have a hormone-based cancer, and you have no idea what your hormone status is. Insanity. like, wouldn't it be important when we know that you have an increase of estrogen a lot of times, the estrogen is feeding the cancers and building things, that we got to get that back into balance there, or your progesterone. And then we look at thyroid gland. The thyroid is crucial because the thyroid is helping us maintain the heat of our body. It's helping us maintain our immunity and helping us all around. Then we look at, I like going into Cyrex Lab, so we run a gut permeability. One of the most important tests, especially in brain cancers, in most cancers when it comes to inflammatory, I like looking at it in colon, I like looking at it pancreatic, but this measures how leaky your gut is. They can run a brain permeability testing, tell us how leaky your brain is. Some amazing stuff that's out there, that if we don't close up these gaps in your gut, if we don't close up this gap in your leaky brain, you're never fully healing from that. I know I keep going on. I run, there's probably 9 or 10 different tests we run. I look at a whole metabolics testing we run through Genova, which is we're looking at every deficiency of nutrients. What are you deficient in? I'm not going to guess what you need. I want to put exactly what your body needs into it instead of guessing. Like, oh, I'm going to go take this. Oh, I read this on the internet. I heard this. We go take this. We're spending all this money. And this is why conventional medicine gets so upset with us. They're like, you're just taking a bunch of stuff randomly. And it doesn't look as scientific to them, where we don't want to guess anymore. We want to get the right testing done. It's all available there.
Dr. Majors, I think in a nutshell, you just pretty much answered what my next question is going to be to you, which is a lot of people seem frustrated and confused, right? They'll say, oh, somebody went to Gerson, they did really well. Oh, no, I know somebody that went to Gerson, they didn't do well. Or any of the other natural therapies, when they're looking for alternatives, when they don't want to do conventional medicine, they want to do something else. Or if they want to do conventional medicine, but they have heard conflicting stories, why do some people succeed and other people, they just see these horrible situations, they hear about it, and it's just not working. Why are some people getting better and a lot of people are not, especially with conventional treatments? You know, it depends where somebody's particular gut situation is like, where their toxins, things like that. Wouldn't you say that's true?
No, absolutely. You're never healing from anything until you get your gut fixed, right? Because in order to absorb every one of those nutrients we give you, your gut has to be working correctly. You know, your liver has to be working correctly in order for you to methylate properly. One of the other tests we run is a lot of times with brain cancers and different, especially liver cancers, is an MTHFR pathway, which is that mutation, genetic mutation of methylation, right? So some people just can't methylate. If you're trying to prevent cancer, you better go get this test done to find out if you or your children can't methylate properly. Methylation means that the ability to break down toxins, the ability to get rid of things, especially hormones. I'll have a 15-year-old with severe acne, right, all over. She can't methylate estrogen. Her liver's not functioning correctly, so she can't even pull out that extra estrogen. Her estrogen's already building up, and they want to put her on birth control pills. So it's insane that we just think that one for all, like one person did this, I'll do this. No, we start first with all the testing first. We look at a metabolic typing. What is your metabolic type? What kind of cancer do you have? We assume, because we hear all cancers are acidic. No, they're not. They're not all acidic. That's hard. Yes, cancer cells are acidic, but not every cancer is caused from acidity. This is tough here. As cancer dies off, you can become acidic. That doesn't mean that was causing your cancer. Let me say that again. Because remember, cancer cells are severely acidic. They release lactic acid, so it makes us very acidic. That doesn't mean acid caused your cancer. In some cases, it's alkalinity. I just mentioned, look at my diet. If you looked at me over the last 10 years, you know, being a chiropractor taking care of, you know, thousands of patients and traveling and speaking, I knew all about alkalinity. I was alkaline more than anybody you can imagine. I thought that was the key. And too alkaline isn't good, and too acidic isn't too good. God created us in homeostasis, which is we need to be right in the middle there at 7.4. Now, I have actually an alkaline cancer based upon my metabolism, based upon my cancer. So I literally have to do more meats in my diet. I know it's interesting. So I'm more on that ketogenic end, where some people cannot. They couldn't process a meat if they tried. Or somebody else wants to follow a Gerson with no meat, and they can't do that. You can't be guessing what works for you and what cancer works for you. Again, so whatever I'm doing so far has worked. And so you want to make sure, and the reason why it's working for me is because I did all the testing first. We created a plan, and then I executed.
Well, that's the bottom line, Dr. Majors. As people listening to this program, it does have to be individual, and to stop looking for that cookie cutter approach where, you know, somebody just told me, some professional or even just a neighbor or something, this is the way to go. Not necessarily for you. And a big warning for people out there, if you are dealing with cancer and you want to detoxify the body, that's all great. But you start getting all these detox programs and your intestinal tract is not working well, it's inflamed, watch out. Because the bottom line is you don't want to mobilize more toxins out of tissue and then have them trapped in your body that travel from one place to the other. You could truly be making yourself sicker. And another big warning that people hear all the time from me through Natural Health 365 is clean up the mouth. By all means, and that has to be done very carefully with a highly trained, skilled practitioner. Because if you're running around with silver fillings, which are filled with mercury, you've got root canals in there, root canal procedures, and you have infected teeth, you're talking about toxins pouring into your body all the time. You could be having organic juice and feeling a little bit better with that, organic food instead of chemicalized food. Hey, it's all great. But the bottom line is if you have major insults still happening to your body, those things for you as an individual must be taken care of. I want to thank one more time our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Majors, you could talk a little bit more as we close out this program. Some of the foods that you're eating, hey, it's not for everybody. Let's be perfectly clear. But you're talking about the foods that you've been eating that sort of balance out where you were coming from the past. And I'd like you to also talk a bit for a few minutes about the importance of oxidative therapies, because I think this is really important. People need to pay attention to this.
So we all know that the mitochondria of the cell, which is the way the cell gets its energy, every cell of your body needs energy. Cancer cells need energy. The mitochondria of the cell takes in oxygen and glucose for energy. So yes, they say every cell of our body needs sugar. You're right. It can take in both oxygen and it can bring in both glucose. But here's the issue is if there's not enough oxygen in that cell, the cell will go into what's called a default mode to survive. It's a default mode. It's a survival mode. Cancer is nothing more than a survival mechanism, a whole other show we could do. But it's a survival mechanism because of all the bad fats, the way you were living, all the inflammation, all the other sugars you've been eating, the stress levels, the teeth, the toxins, everything you've been doing have damaged the outer layer of your cells. You can no longer bring in oxygen, and so now these cells turn into a glucose metabolizer, which means the only thing they can use is sugar. And they will figure it out. It can be from too much protein. Too much protein will convert to sugar through gluconeogenesis. So we even have to watch the amount of proteins we put in our body, especially going in with cancer. So either way, I had to make sure that I was following a diet based upon what I needed. I needed to make sure my body wasn't too alkaline. I needed to make sure I totally starved my body of sugar. So if we know a cancer cell has to have sugar as its main fuel for survival, I knew to stop that immediately. And so the way we did it is we knew that a cancer cell has 19 times more glucose than sugar for energy. And so if the cells didn't adapt to the environment, because these cells, the normal cells are no longer absorbing oxygen, your cells would turn black and die, right? So your cells couldn't turn black and die. They had to keep you surviving by turning into these glucose metabolizers. So as soon as we stop bringing sugar into the body, number one, right, I measure my blood glucose on a regular basis. I measure my ketones because the key with this is that, so then how do you survive with no sugar? This is what people ask me. How do you survive? I haven't even had a fruit in 4.5 years, if that tells you anything. I don't do any sugars at all. I measure my blood glucose. Because here's the way ketogenic works, is when your body has a survival mode, that if you, right now I told everybody who's listening, you can't eat for 30 days, you would live. And the way your body lives is it takes the fat of your body, the liver will take your fat and turn it into ketones. Normal, healthy cells have a healthy mitochondria, and that mitochondria will take in a ketone body for its energy source, and it can live off of that. It uses it as fuel. A cancer cell, because it has damaged mitochondria, cannot bring in ketones. It has no clue how to use them. My body stays in a ketosis state. I measure it all day long. I'm in ketosis for 4.5 years. And my the cancer cell cannot survive. So one thing for me is I'm in a ketogenic diet. So I'm starving the body of sugar. I'm bringing in now oxygen through the oxidative therapies. This is one thing I do on a regular basis. So oxidative therapies now, so not only when you stop bringing in sugar, let's say someone's going through chemotherapy or radiation when I'm helping them. When you go on a ketogenic diet during radiation and chemotherapy and those cancer cells have no fuel, they are weak, very weak, and they're fragile. Do you think chemotherapy and radiation is going to work better when you're fragile cells or strong? It's way better off. So now my body all day long is in this, these cancer cells are being fragile. They don't have their energy. Now we douse them with more oxygen, right? Because we bring in more oxygen to the body. Bringing in what's called an oxidative therapy brings in oxygen into the body by adding an electron. And so what this does is it not only helps to kill the cancer cells, it modulates your immune system. When I say modulate or adaptogenic is one word they say. So what it does is it creates, if you have a weak immune system, it creates it to go up. And if you have a strong immune system, you have some autoimmune reaction happening, it'll bring it down and balance it back. So oxidative therapies are amazing. You know, microbes. So a lot of people have underlying cancers because of microbes. People with sarcomas, people with uterine. There's different cancers that are so hard to deal with because they spread by microbes. And these microbes die quicker through oxygen and oxidative therapies. Yeast, we see a lot of yeast infections that are affecting this. So I love, number one, IV vitamin C. It converts to hydrogen peroxide at a tumor level. So you would take in IV vitamin C. The trick to IV vitamin C is when they did studies on what a cancer cell would eat and not, a cancer cell, when they bring in IV vitamin C, it will. Out of any other vitamins, cancer cells do not even know how to bring them in, but it will take IV vitamin C and or vitamin C because it thinks it's sugar. And when that happens, it's like a Trojan horse, and it brings hydrogen peroxide at the tumor level to kill it. Some people can't have IVs, and I know you're talking about Live On Lab. That's where I get my liposomal at, my lipospheric. So I love it. We can do liposomal at home without having to go always to a doctor. Also, tumors are less aggressive with oxygen. White blood cells have to have oxygen to work, so we're increasing our white blood cells. If someone's going through chemotherapy and radiation, it's damaging their bone marrow, their white blood cells are down, and you increase their oxygen, they build more white blood cells. Every cell of your body needs oxygen for energy. Ozone stimulates the cytokines. Inflamed cells, cancer, arthritis, all need oxygen. And so I love exercise with oxygen therapy, especially with a lung cancer patient, where we're with exercise with oxygen therapy. And that means where they're literally doing a half hour of exercise a day at high-end exercise. We teach high-intensity, short-duration, max T3, but it is high-intensity. Their heart rate's pumping up. It's bringing in all this full oxygen, and the cancer cells don't live. I love hyperbaric oxygen chambers. Love it. I mean, I love going in there, filling my body with oxygen. Ozone. I still, to this day, I have my own ozone here. I do ozone when I was in Spain. I did it through IV. I can't do it in the States here that way. So I do it in rectally, insufflation. So I also go in and do a hydrogen peroxide intravenously every 2 weeks. I do UV blood cleaning, which they take your blood, irradiate it with UV, which actually is an oxidative therapy. And I keep going on with these, but there's so much out there to help you. And I'm still doing most of these things on a regular basis.
Dr. Majors, unbelievable information. For people who wanted to learn more about what you're doing these days and to get in touch with you, talk about your website, Facebook, all of that, your book that's out. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, my book, I always say new. It feels new because it feels like I just had cancer. But I wrote that book about 2.5 years ago, sold over 100,000 copies. It's all over the world now. That is, you can get that book at BACancerKiller.com, BACancerKiller.com. A lot of people follow our posts, over 10,000 people on Facebook, and that's BA Cancer Killer on Facebook. All you have to do is Google that, or just go into the Facebook search and put in BA Cancer Killer. You can go on iTunes to get the book. You can go on Amazon. But, I mean, my goal, after everything I've been through, my goal is I went through everything I went through so you don't have to, so your children don't have to, so your spouse doesn't have to, so no one you do. So when you hear Jonathan and you hear all these programs and you hear this, like, we're doing all this for one thing, so you never have to go through what these people are going through and suffer like they are.
Dr. Majors, you're truly amazing. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for doing what you do.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.